Hi there, we really hope you enjoy this teaching from the Message Trust. To find out more about all the exciting things we're doing, check out our website, message.org.uk.
Great stuff, well done. So what a message, hey? And how tragic that for so many people this is news. It's good news, but it's news to them. They don't even know. So many people haven't got a clue, and it's not on. It's not on that there's this many Christians in our country, and still so many people don't know what we know. And it's got to change, hasn't it? I had a little moment just like that, walking down Market Street at Christmas time, a few days before Christmas, about when the message was just starting, and walking down Market Street, and where the food court is. This year, at Christmas time, there was a big digital ad scan sign, and it had various adverts, you know, Marks and Spencer is Christmas, Coke adds life, you know, all this rubbish. And but then every, like, said it would flick round these different adverts on the digital screen. Every now and again, there would be, happy birthday, darling, you know, from Michelle, I love you, whatever. And there were these different messages popping up. And then underneath it said, you can book your advert on this screen. I thought, that's good. So I phoned up and I found it was only 200 quid to an advert rolling, and it would appear every 15 minutes. And you know the amount of people who walk down Market Street. So I phoned up, I got a couple of mates to chip in, phoned up the ad scan sign, said, I'd like to put an advert on your board, please. Sure. I'd like to say, Christmas is all about Jesus. Don't forget him. And she said, okay, right, okay. And took me credit card details. About 15 minutes later, she phoned me back, said, I'm sorry, we're not going to be able to take your advert because we're not allowing religious messages this Christmas. But don't you think that sums it up, kind of? You know, for so many. Please, let's not spoil our fun by getting all religious. Let's not spoil our fun by bringing Jesus into it. Well, that's got to change. But I was also thinking, this Sunday, so I was speaking at Ivy, and in the Sunday, on the Sunday evening, I went to a carol service, a proper like carols by candlelight thing at the church I attended for 40 odd years at the end of our road. And just both services were absolutely rammed. And there was faithful gospel preaching. Might be a bit much because I did one of them, but there was, the gospel was preached, and a salvation response was called out, a prayer, a commitment, and it was an amazing thing. And Sam was audacious. Audacious had three sold out services. Somewhere like 5,000 people passing through their building. Again, full on gospel, evangelical preaching. Preaching the cross, lifting high Jesus. And I just thought, what a transformation has happened since that day, actually. You think, oh, Lord, it's so hard, isn't it? So few know and all that. But actually, God's on the move, you know. And I had this fascinating conversation with someone last week about Alpha. And the question was, well, 3 million people have done Alpha in our country. How come we've not seen more change? You know, those people have been exposed to the word in community and been at a Holy Spirit day when the Holy Spirit's actually, you know what I felt during that conversation? Actually, the transformation is happening if you can just see it. If you can just see during that period, you know, since Alpha really kicked off 20 years ago and since the message started, something remarkable's happened in the Church of Jesus. Renewal, and the most amazing renewal. I mean, some of you, a lot of you, aren't even old enough to know this. You want to try being a young Christian. When I became a Christian, and the most exciting gig in town was the Keswick Convention or the Dales Bible Week, you know. It's just a completely different landscape. So many people have got filled with the Spirit. So many churches have got engaged in community. The whole new, you know, the worship industry is potentially a bit creepy, but well, it is, isn't it? The industry, but actually the worship that we're expressing in our churches, the way we're engaging with a personal relationship with Jesus and going for it, and the amount of people who are coming into our churches, and before you preach, they've experienced the presence of God. And it's like shelling peas, getting them to give their lives to Christ. Point is, something's happening, isn't it? If you've got eyes to see, and I'm so full of faith for this next season. I actually believe it's harvest time. Well, it is harvest time. It's harvest time around the world. No time in history has as many people getting saved as will be saved today. God's doing unbelievable things, even in that period. You know, since the message started, you know, we can't take credit for this much as I'd like to, but the world's been turned upside down, hasn't it? Just the fires of revival are blazing all over the world. And I actually believe we could be part of this end time harvest, because that's what we're experiencing in the UK. If we can just pray, faithfully proclaim the gospel, watch our lives, I believe in this next season we could see the things we've dreamt about. Anybody up for that? Anybody excited even as I say that? Is anything stirring in your spirit a little bit? Maybe, Lord, maybe God, maybe the best is yet to come. Maybe there's a massive harvest through this ministry that will just blow our minds. We've got a gospel that works, you see. Nothing wrong with it. If we do what it says on the tin, we start to see the results that Jesus promised us. And the gospel all starts with a baby being born. Well, it doesn't actually start there, does it? It starts before that, because God had a plan. The baby was born in 7 BC. Some stupid monk got all his statistics wrong for ever since. You know, we've been 7 years out. Not very impressive. But, you know, the monk was a bit of a goon. But God's timing is perfect. And God had a plan, and he prophesied through his people about this plan, so we'd know. If we just got eyes to see, surely it's enough for anybody to be converted. If they just look at the Old Testament prophecies, hundreds of them prophesied hundreds of years before Christ, more and more and more prophecies in minute detail, and then baby Jesus comes along and grows up to be a man and fulfills all the prophecies. Surely that's enough to get you to bow down and worship him, don't you think? The trouble is, people don't know. It's good news. Somebody's got to tell them, haven't they? That it's true and it's historic. My mate went to a carol service with his grandson last week, and they started off the carol service. Once upon a time. No, not once upon a time. You know, it sounds like a fairy story. 2,000 years ago, historical events. These things really happened. And the Jewish people knew it was going to happen because they'd read the Bibles. They'd read the scriptures. They knew that a child would be born in Bethlehem through this specific family. They knew he would achieve nothing less than an entirely new basis of relationship between God and man. They knew as a result of this child coming and growing to be the saviour of the world, that a new agreement would be struck between God and man. They knew there'd be forgiveness of sins. There'd be personal knowledge of God in a way nobody had experienced before. They knew that the law would be written on people's hearts rather than just written in a book. It's all promised. And then it happens. And if people aren't automatically part of that, they have to choose to be part of that. But once you choose to be part of that, suddenly you receive peace on earth. God's favour resting on your life. What a precious thing. I said on Sunday at Ivy that a lot of people say, God doesn't have favourites. Yes, he does. Hello, I'm one. I am, and you are too. Because you've accepted Christ, because you've made him Lord. The favour of God rests on your life. I tell you, I wouldn't like to be stood before you lot without the favour of God. If you could just see me, if I didn't have the favour of God resting on my life, what a carnage, what a train wreck my life would have been for the last 39 years. What a mess I would have made. But I bowed my knee to Jesus. And now I know the peace of God through some difficult stuff. And I know the favour of God. What a gift. What a priceless thing that's been brought through baby Jesus. That's right, isn't it? Growing to be the man he was. So the Jewish people have got all these prophecies building, building, building. More and more excitement. Prophet after prophet tells them to get ready for this child to be born. And then guess what? Nothing happens. For 400 years, nothing happens. At the end of the Old Testament, there's 400 years of silence. You know, not a decade, not a century, 400 years. Imagine how frustrating. In fact, is there anything more frustrating than having the prophetic word, the prophetic promise, and living in the gap between the promise and the fulfillment of that promise? Anybody living in that place? You know, God's promised you so much more, and you know it was Him, but you're not seeing the full measure of it because it's not God's timing. But when it is God's timing, things really start to happen, don't they? And there was a time in history when God's purposes, God's providence, it was time for His Son to come to earth. Boom. It all kicks off. Suddenly, Aslan's on the move. Suddenly, prophets are prophesying again. Dreamers are dreaming again. Visionaries are having visions again. Angelic visitations are happening left, right, and center. Suddenly, it's all bubbling up. It's all happening. God's on the move. I love the fact that in Matthew and Luke, particularly in the Christmas stories, they're just stacked full of Old Testament references. Because the writers know this is the fulfillment of prophecy. This is the child I've been waiting for. It's all in the book. If you just got eyes to see, you can see God's got a plan. Boom, His plan is being fulfilled right now. And I actually think there's something important about the time in history. The Roman Empire. Very few times in the history of our world have we had one dominant empire that basically ruled all the known world. It meant that travel between territories was easy. People could travel and take good news quickly. The genius Romans had built the roads and the system of travel around the world. It meant people could quickly take the word out about this Saviour. There was pretty much a universal language. At least like English today, Greek was the universal language. So there was a language that meant that the word could be spread. And at this moment in time, God's quite clever. He decided to send His Son. This is the time. And so on the back of clear prophetic words, current world affairs lining up, supernatural stuff happens. A virgin gets pregnant, as is prophesied in Isaiah chapter 7. And as I was preparing this little talk yesterday, it came over to me afresh just what a massive stigma it was for Mary and for Joseph, of course, and for Jesus to be the illegitimate kid, to be the loose woman. All the way through the Gospels, Jesus is called Son of Mary. Now, no other child in Jewish culture would be called Son of Mary. He'd be Son of Joseph. It was like a put down. You've got no dad. You know, you're the illegitimate little boy. What did the Pharisees call him? Son of an adulteress. Jesus was carrying that. Mary was carrying that. People who have this sense of being disconnected, forgotten, rejects. Jesus knew all about that growing up as a boy. A virgin with child, and a strange star appears directing the way. And then there's this hideous massacre of children as Herod, the psychopath leader, does what Herod does. You know, Herod was the man who killed his wife and strangled his two sons. It's not hard to imagine him ordering the death of all the baby boys in Bethlehem and the vicinity, is it? And how often is that the case as well? That just when the light's shining brightness, the dark really kicks off. So Mary and Joseph had to flee persecution to a foreign country. And I thought as well, just trying to get into the story, which of course is always good to do, when you're reading the Bible, I'm sure Mary and Joseph must have been like, what? Hang on a minute. We had the promise. We had we had glory in the heaven, peace on earth, goodwill towards men on whom his favor rests. Here we are fleeing for our lives with his baby. People are trying to kill him. There's bloodshed everywhere. There's all these little babies killed. How does this fit in? Because as the light gets lighter, the dark kicks back. Don't be surprised. We're going to see breakthrough. We're going to see the end time harvest. Do you not think we're going to have a fight on our hands? Do you not think we're going to see some horrible things happen? We've seen some this year, haven't we? You know, the dark getting darker as the light gets lighter. A picture of Satan trying to kill things when they're kids. If you're birthing a ministry, get ready for spiritual attack. I'm not prophesying over you. I don't want you to see. I want you to be blessed in your going out and your coming in. But actually, if we're doing new things, and the trouble with the message is, our touchstone scripture is, see, I'm doing a new thing. So we're always going to be pioneers. We're always going to be new things, doing new things. We're always going to be ducking and diving and finding new ways of reaching more people. And as we do that, we're going to poke the devil in the eye. Because if we can just do the old things that aren't working, he's happy, isn't he? If we can just stay in our buildings doing our little religious gigs, he'll back off. As we push out and see I'm doing a new thing, we perceive the Lord's new thing, we stir up hell, don't we, as well? But the good news is Christmas is a picture of God's purposes prevailing and his kingdom advancing, which is what always happens, isn't it? See, we always win ultimately. Jesus always wins, but oh, there's a fight along the way. And actually, I thought this morning, you know, when I'm hearing this spectacular band leading us in worship, I'm thinking, I get paid for this. Anybody think that this morning? You know, this is my job. Like, God, I'm so blessed to be here with this much talent and this much vibe and people who are fundraising and praying, and they're all going to be queuing up afterwards to buy my book. It's fantastic. You know, just what an ace place to be. I'm like, just loving it. But I know there's going to be times when, you know, I'm curled up under my desk in a fetal position the next 12 months. Because we're going, come on, devil, back off in Jesus' name. The kingdom advances. We're going after your generals. We're going after your territory. And nothing's going to stop us. And we're part of that. Picture of God's purposes prevailing. And God's kingdom advancing. In John's gospel, there's no description of Jesus' birth. Just these momentous, astonishing breakthrough verses that we've heard loads of times. But I hope, just before one last reflection, I hope that they may hit us with new force as we think about this child, this baby being born in poverty, this kid who was vulnerable, seemingly illegitimate, asylum seeker, poor, marginalized, but our Savior. What a gospel, isn't it? Surely everybody's got to know it. Everybody must know it. We can't keep it to ourselves. John chapter 1, you know these words, but I'm going to read them anyway, and maybe they could just sink in afresh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that light was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Goes on to say, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Come on, let's give him a round of applause. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Okay, so maybe we should lift our eyes. Maybe we should live a bigger life. I could so easily be wrapped up in my little world of my little ministry. When you think of God's great purposes, the great promises over the world, maybe we could be like, perhaps we are living in the end times. Perhaps Jesus is coming soon. Even when we see these catastrophic events on the news, one after another, Do you ever think when you switch on the news, what's next? We just get used to seeing scenes from Aleppo that are apocalyptic, aren't they? Stuff happening. Crazy men driving Arctic lorries into Christmas markets and killing dozens of people. What is going on around the world? Doing it in the name of religion, doing it in the name of Allah. What is that all about? The last thing all these people say is, God is great. Your God's not great if that's what you do. My God's great and he's a God of peace and justice and righteousness. So maybe we should lift our eyes and look at the big picture and look at the prophetic words, look at the season we're in, the climate. Well, you know, if it was a good time for Jesus to come because of the Roman roads and because of the language, maybe the internet gives us an incredible opportunity the world's never seen. Maybe this is a point in history. Maybe the way we can travel around the world so easily. Maybe it gives us an opportunity we've never seen in the history of the world. Maybe the Lord's going to bring in his end time harvest. And maybe we will see some terrible opposition. Of course we will, to work that. So maybe on the macro level, we need to be on tiptoes of excitement that we're living in one of the most exciting seasons in world history. But maybe at the micro message level, we ought to be excited. We've got the word. And, you know, I mean, some of you have joined us recently, but I can tell you the prophetic words that have been brought into this ministry and tested. We've prayed into them. We know we're the Lord. We know the Lord's promises the righteousness of this cause is going to shine like the noonday sun. We know for sure we're going to see rivers in the desert. You just watch. We know the light's going to shine and we're going to assemble people and the least are going to become 1,000, the smallest a mighty nation. God's word has been spoken into this ministry. We know again and again the Lord said, incredible season of open doors. This is, you know, these are the words of the Lord that we've tested, we've prayed into. So, and there's a sense that which we can feel it. You can feel it at prayer day, I think. Different level. Circumstances are coming together. The people who are being attracted, the stuff that's happening, the way God's bringing resource and wisdom and provision. So maybe there's going to be an outbreak of the supernatural. Maybe God's going to step in with a power of supernatural salvation. Again, anybody excited about that? Maybe we're going to see another measure, another level of fruit, all to his glory, because the world must know. And this is our one shot in all eternity to let them know about a Saviour who's beyond compare, who's beautiful, wonderful, powerful. Amen? So let's stand together. There's a bunch of things happening in the next few days. There's in-your-face continuing around the prisons, and over the prisons there's evangelism happening all over Christmas. There's chaos in our prison system. The dark is becoming darker in prison, isn't it? You see it on the news. Guess what? In those places, the light shines brighter. And I think we're going to see an unprecedented harvest. I think in the face of what events that you might think would shut prisons down, they're going to open up. Because it's like some of the schools we're hearing about. Some of the schools are like, we just don't know what to do anymore. So we're going to give you a prayer room. I'm going to invite you to do appeals in your lessons and your assemblies, even though, you know, you're not meant to do that. What other hope is there? So I think we're going to see that more and more, especially in the prisons. We're going to see. So we're going to pray. We're going to pray for salvation, real disciples in the prisons. And we're going to pray for the homeless meal tomorrow night, isn't it? Tonight. So we're going to pray for the homeless meal, that some of those guys have come in from utter brokenness. And I'll tell you what, if you'd been through what they've been through, you'd probably be where they are. But hope's going to come tonight. Salvation is going to come tonight. And suddenly Jesus is involved. And what the enemy meant for harm, Jesus is going to turn around for good because he's going to give him a testimony. Of course, that's what's happening as Cyril preaches tonight, isn't it? What the enemy meant for harm with all that chaos of his background and all the things that were done to Cyril, Jesus turns round. Suddenly, what a beautiful thing that is, isn't it? So we're going to pray for the homeless meal. We're going to pray for this Christmas. I just think there's a new hunger. The churches are full, fuller than full. And they're not just full, but they're full. And they're hearing the gospel and they're experiencing the presence of God. Well, let's pray for a bumper harvest, a breakthrough. Could this be your Kairos moment, God? when we get involved in the UK in a fresh and powerful and glorious way. Yep. So that's what we're going to do to finish. Don't run off, because I got one more notice. But then we're going to pray together. So groups of five, yeah, just pray for this salvation in everything we do. You'll be involved in something, I'm sure, over the next few days. Go for it. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, I pray for this Christmas time that you will help us to be on tiptoes, just ready for you to move at any moment. Pray for some beautiful conversations with our family and our friends who don't know you as we reconnect with people. We pray, Lord, that some of the names we wrote on that piece of paper just a couple of months ago, Lord, please will you bring them to know you. Yeah, let this be the season, a season of salvation through all we do. Pray for homeless people coming to know you today on this site. Pray for prisoners who will be truly free because of the message they hear this Christmas time. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for all the excitement and expectation we feel towards 2017. Have your way, Jesus. Be glorified. Be praised through everything we do. Help us to truly know what it looks like to do your work your way. Amen. 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 Thanks for listening. Don't forget to check out message.org.uk to find out how you can support or even get involved with one of our teams.